some value back on the days in lieu that they were paying out. So every time you're at the table, there are different proposals within each municipality that would not necessarily be the same. So it's difficult to attach best practices because it would vary from municipality to municipality.
So Ms. Morano, I think what committee is looking for is, does council, do councils in general get involved in the decisions? To Councillor Neal's point, you know, a simple rubber stamping, which to a degree we do, and we do that for a reason, but are there other ways of council being informed and having input? I think that's what we're looking for, yes?
Through the chair, and to you, Your Worship, the question of how much involvement other councillors or other councils, pardon me, have or don't have, I couldn't speak to precisely. I don't believe, from my knowledge, that there's, at least within the region, that there is participation at the table, but I don't have that information to be able to accurately speak to it.
So, Ms. Morano, I think that, but that the request is, could you look into that and come back to us with that information? That, and that's the... Okay, and the clerk is suggesting that that's different from what we have. Could you read the motion again?
The report be received and that staff be directed to report back on best practices for negotiating employee benefits to limit the increases. I think what you're suggesting is best practices to inform council and what council's participation is.
I think it's one and the same, but
Councillor Jordan, maybe a combination of those two concepts.
Okay.
All right.
Does the seconder agree?
Oh, I just don't see. I don't see why not. They're sort of two different issues, right? You know, so one is the renewal of the benefits package, but this is, you know, are most other councils brought up to date? Are they, you know, do they give staff direction? Madam Clerk?
So I've just tacked on after limit the increases and an indication.
You're off.
I've added on and an indication of council's involvement in negotiations if both the mover and seconder are. We should really do this as an amendment. That report COD-006-19 be received, that staff be directed to report back on best practices for negotiating employee benefits to limit the increases, and on an indication of council's involvement, other councils' involvement in negotiations.
Councillor Hooper, questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Well, you know, it was stated, through you, Mr. Chair, it was stated by Ms. Morano that, quote, council being at the table, there's no suggestion that council should be at the table. Like, and there's a big difference between being at the table and approving something in the background. I mean, I've had to do it, so, like, it's not that difficult. So, but we make it sound like a councillor or a mayor is going to be physically present at the table, and it's just not what I'm suggesting or even proposed at any time. So I'm just pointing that statement was made, okay, Mayor Foster.
So I think Ms. Morano, pardon me, I did, Councillor Neal, if we are making the decision, whether we're sitting around the table with a group or not, if we are making the decision, our hands go up, statement was made, four hands go up or not.
In closed session.
Like it or not, we're at the table.
Well, but maybe that'll work versus the way it is now, because the way it is now, it's not working. There's many taxpayers, okay, that either have A, no benefits, or B, very limited benefits. Yet what I see is a, just a continual march forward of more and more cost, okay?
And we're not supposed to be debating back and forth, Councillor, but I think that this motion is asking Ms. Morano to say, what's the rest of the world doing if they've got a better idea?
Okay, but all I'm pointing out is there's never been a suggestion ever made that a councillor should be physically present. And And as far as taking responsibility, absolutely, we need to take responsibility. That's the whole point, is if we don't, okay, and we leave it to staff, then just look out another 5 to 7 years. That's all I'm saying. Like, because there's a rule of, you know, when things are going up in 10% a year, okay, it's a rule in economics, in 7 years, that means it doubles, okay? So right now it's at 9.3, sorry, that was 2 years ago, so it's probably cracked 10 million. It'll be 20 million in 7 years. That's all I'm saying, the way it's currently working. So it's not working.
All right, on the motion, do we have anything further? So I'm gonna suggest we all agree that benefits have to be kept under control. There is absolutely no dissent whatsoever for the suggestion at the table. Take it as a turn of phrase. But whether we are physically at the table or making a decision, we're at the table. And it could be that other councils are doing this. We're gonna find out. Find out, we can decide how we wanna move forward or not with it. But the one thing that we are all agreed on, and that staff are already working on, by the way, is containing costs. I don't think that there is any dispute there at all. With that, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. I think that was unanimous. We agree. All right. So the next motion is COD-007-19, Joint Health and Safety Committee 2018 Summary. Councillor Hooper, you give me that. Councillor Jones, you almost made eye contact. You're seconding that, almost. I saw it. You're thinking about it. Questions or comments on the Joint Health and Safety Committee summary? I see none. Ms. Moreno, please thank all involved and staff for keeping safe. Nothing more important than going home to family and friends safe at the end of the day. That is the number one thing we need to worry about. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Moreno? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, through the chair, the paving quotes continue to concern me. The total lack of competitive bidding. Any insight into that at all, or is it just driven by there's too much paving work around right now with the 407? But you look at the. They're not even close, these quotes that we're getting. So.
Through the chair, all I can say from the bidding end of it is that the bids are put out and advertised. The interest, as you have stated, could in part be because of some of the contracts that are out there. There were seven that downloaded on this particular asphalt report, various locations. Only three bids, it very well may be that there is such a demand on that service that companies don't have to bid on what they believe to be the smaller jobs, but I will ask if the Director of Engineering has any additional comments he might like to add.
I don't really have any additional comments other than there are only a limited number of pavers in the area, and they've all got a certain amount of work, and the larger companies quite often can provide more crews and get the job done more economically.
All right, anything further for Ms. Moreno? Seeing none, Ms. Moreno, thank you. Is it an appropriate time for a 10-minute break? All right, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? Carried? Thank you. I'm doing bad math, is what you're... All right, folks, we will call the meeting back to order, please. We're in the Finance Department portion of the agenda. We've got three reports. The first one is FND-012-19, Financial Update as of December 31, 2018. If I could get a mover and a seconder to get it on the floor. Councillor Hooper, Councillor Anderson, seconding that, thank you. Do we have questions or comments for Mr. Pinn? Oh, Councillor Neal.
So I have a question about some of these development charge credits. So does that obligate us to provide a further credit for 105 Queen Street? Like if they expand, are we sort of obligated to fund that further?
Through the chair, we wouldn't be obligated to fund any new expansion. The exemption, unless of course if it met exemption or grant applications, but a further expansion would be a separate decision, if I understand the question correctly.
So we're not bound to, because they're always talking about expansion, right?
Through the chair, if, for example, we were in phase two right now and they wanted to do phase three and phase four, that would be a completely
different. So have we already given them a second round of incentives?
That's not what I meant. But for example, if we were in phase two and they wanted to expand at like a new phase, that new phase would be a completely different decision. We're not obligated to fund any future exemptions.
Through the chair, the indoor recreation fund is sitting where right now?
Give us a page. Don't know if there's a DC schedule.
Through the chair, I don't believe that was part of the. That wasn't part of the report, but we are close to getting it back into zero, like out of the hole. That should be in 2019, but I can follow up and get that information for council.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, any further questions? Okay, Mr. Pinn, just really quickly, we're looking at the sort of related to Councillor Neal's question, so page 449 are the DC incentives. Do we need to revisit what we're doing and why we're doing it? Yeah, so we've got a variety of incentives. I can never keep in my mind what we've got, but does it make sense for council to have some discussion on that?
Through your worship, we are actually in the midst of getting the RFP ready for the 2020 DC. I believe it's going out in the next week or so. That will have that kind of discussion as part of it. We are also, as mentioned at the strategic plan, we'll be working on tying in DC and other financial incentives with affordable housing, as well as some of the new provincial legislation which has come forward, which actually on Friday there was an announcement that significantly may impact DC's overall. Taking out items such as parks, indoor rec facilities out of DCs and funding them in a different model, which we are not, at this point, not sure what that looks like because it is part of a regulation which has not yet been released.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Call a question on this. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. The next is FND-013-19, and that is the annual investment report. If I could get a mover and a seconder. Councillor Jouart, thank you. Councillor Neal, thank you. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I guess this one investment pool seems to be, at least what I can see, there's a roughly a $4 million investment that's actually never really made any money over that 17 or 18 years it's been invested. So I guess I'm questioning that in conjunction with this idea of joining up with this one investment board. That gave me some pause for concern. Again, I realize not everything's guaranteed in life, but I'm wondering if we should really be playing the market, so to speak, with things like bond funds and so on, which, especially in today's, like, they can only get a bond fund to me, unless your interest rates are like 12%, and they might drop to 8 or something like that. It's probably when you really make money with those things. But so So I'm just, you know, like, I'm happy to see some of the detail here. I didn't realize we had such a thing as a bond fund, which I know my own bond funds, pretty small numbers, but they've never really done much over the many years that I've had them. So, but I would be 4,080, not 4,080,000. So there's a lot of taxpayers' bread out there. Not again. I appreciate the level of visibility here, but how do we best deal with that at this point? So.
Through the chair, we will look into that. The bond fund has not performed great over the last year or so, partially because of the fact that the interest rates were going up, and the equity fund has done quite well. So there is a mix there that we can do a review on whether that fund is the right fund to be in. We could move some to equities, which has performed quite well. Over the last 10 years, we've more than doubled the investment in that fund. The issue with bonds under the legal list is basically the municipality can invest in governments and banks. That's basically it, which kind of goes to the next report as far as prudent investor. But with bonds, we are limited to A and AA rated bonds, which means the chartered banks. Which does not give a lot of diversification in your portfolio, and that's part of the legal list that the province has mandated for us.
So, was there some sort of broker that set this up originally? Or, like, I'm just curious, though, how a bond fund would have been considered to have been fall within that category of allowable investments.
Through your worship, the one investment program is specifically stated in the investment regulations for municipalities as the only ability for which municipalities may use to invest in equities, and the only way that municipalities can invest in corporate bonds that have a maturity greater than 2 years. So that is in regulation. It was set up by the Municipal Finance Officers Association of Ontario, as well as the Association of Municipalities of Ontario back early 2000s. There's no investment broker per se. It's not a traditional investment broker per se, but they are professionally managed, institutionally managed portfolios.
Thank you.
All right, do you have anything further? Call the question on the report. All in support? Pose. That is carried. The next report is FND-014-19. This is the prudent investor, and we have two options, an option A and an option B. I guess there's nothing stopping anyone from creating an option C, but I would encourage you to stick with A or B. Stick with the plan. Someone give me a motion? Councillor Neal.
I'm going to give you a motion to do A for the time being anyway.
All right. Do we have a second? Option A is the prudent investor, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Thank you. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
So my understanding through you, Ms. Chair, is that this doesn't lock us into this one investment idea. Like once if we adopt A, we're not tied into this. I guess my concerns stem from the discussion we just had about the one bond fund. So.
Through your worship, the way that the short answer to your question is no, it doesn't tie us in at the moment. If you want to continue to work with Prune Investor, the recommendation in the report is that there's four options. Option one is we stay with the legal list and then we just continue doing what we've been doing. Option two would be to do prudent investor but establish our own investment board. Option three would be prudent investor but try and establish a joint investment board in the region or with other municipalities. The region, we've discussed it with the region isn't interested at this time. So option, the only reasonable option would be the one investment JIB, because they're the only group of municipalities that are actually actively trying to form a joint investment board. We are required under the regulations to have an investment board, so you can't just do prudent investor and call up day traders and do trades. We have to have an investment board. So the recommendation would be for the one joint investment board to be that. There's about six municipalities, including within the region of Durham. The town of Whitby has passed this first step as far as giving direction to work with one and other municipalities to form the JIB. And by JIB, I mean the Joint Investment Board.
Okay, and I wouldn't mind knowing what the investment rates are for our various investments as well, so if that's possible to get.
Three words as relating to our existing rates. So in the previous report, they obviously will vary, the investment rates will vary based on the date in which they were, the date in which they were invested. But there was, I believe, somewhere where I did a range in the previous report, but I can get that for you.
I think he's looking at yield and maturity as opposed to just the simplest.
They're all GSEs.
Great. All right, anything further on that? Just one quick question, Mr. Penn. The region at this point in time is not looking. Do we know why?
Through your worship, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I believe that there's been a significant enough change at the region as far as finance has been concerned that at this point they're not wanting to go there too far. But again, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
Don't know what you mean. All right, with that, we'll call a question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Do we have any questions for Mr. Penn? I don't see any. Mr. Penn, I know you don't have an answer. Are we trying to keep track of the downloading that is currently happening by the provincial government? Are we trying to keep track of how that is going to or may impact us? So I know, changes to the ECs, we don't know. There was some gas tax that we thought we'd get that we didn't. I guess that'd be at the region. I know it's tough. Flood control has been limited, which, I know ultimately where that is going to land. So do we have any sense at all? Souls?
Through your worship, we haven't formally been tracking it. A lot of, or several of the items that you just mentioned are actually at the upper tier. Of course, whatever happens at the upper tier does impact us from a rate standpoint. We can try to quantify that. The difficulty is I wake up today, there's one thing, tomorrow there could be something else. So there, it's very quickly changing, and sometimes the province has changed what they've changed. So we can try and track that to the best of our ability.
Makes sense to wait for a while. Is that what I'm hearing? Till it settles?
Yeah.
All right, good. Thank you. Mr. Penn, thank you. All right, we will cycle back. I'm sorry?
Yes.
I got to go back through to the people that didn't have questions. So firstly, my apologies, Mr. Brake, you're the only one sort of stuck. I think we were trying the experiment where if there weren't reports on, rather than making the department heads or deputy department heads sit through the entire meeting, we were going to deal with them first, and I did not do that today. So do we have any questions for Mr. Brake, operations? Yeah, I forgot that. That was my good... clerk says she thought I had a good reason, and I forgot. That was my good reason. Seeing none, Mr. Brake, Councillor Anderson.
I have a question. Mr. Brake, Any update on what's happening in Kendall? How is that report coming along, et cetera, et cetera? Thanks.
Through the chair, we are continuing to work on some localized drainage issues around Mr. Ward's home. We're keeping in touch with him and progressing along, doing some minor ditching and a cross culvert to get that water away from those two properties at that intersection. With regards to the other situation where Mr. Bujol was in to speak, we're having some discussions with engineering based on some past studies that have been completed up in the area, and we'll be forthcoming with a memorandum in the next week or so at the most to provide a further update on where we need to go.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. And through you to Mr. Brake. Steve, do we have an update in regards to how the cleanup Clarington went as far as just, you know, off the top of your head? It was a successful event, and, you know, anything in regards to how many tonnage, or do we have that way that far yet?
Yeah, through the chair, I don't have any numbers that I can provide. Every year is successful. It certainly helps the environment and makes Clarington a cleaner place to live. If council directs those numbers, I can certainly gather them up and send them out and give you some update on how the day went.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and anything more? Mr. Brake, thank you. And please send along to staff our thanks for all the work that they've done, just regularly, but down at Cedar Crest, between you and emergency services, and certainly the festivals take a huge amount of work as well. Do we have any questions for the clerk's department? No questions for the clerks. Do we have anything for the solicitor? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, through the chair, what's the status of the LPAT appeal regarding on Thule Road, up north of Thule Road?
Through you, Mr. Chair, there's a pre-hearing conference scheduled for early June. I want to say June the 10th. I can indicate that there has been a peer review commenced of some of the work that was submitted by the proponents, and that peer review is being undertaken right now. And I expect that there will be some, if there are any deficiencies in the applications, that those will be identified and recommendations for further work or amendments to what they proposed there. We're doing that in parallel to the hearing process.
Sorry, you said that, through the chair, the peer review is commenced or has been completed?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the peer review has just recently been commenced.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything else for Mr. McIver? Seeing none, Mr. Allison had to leave us, so you can reach out if you need to chat with him. So, Madam Clerk, new business. Okay, so this is moved by yourself, Councillor Neal. Do you have a seconder? All right, that single-use plastics be banned from the MAC and Rickard individual garbage pails removed from the MAC. Questions or comments? Councillor Hooper.
I guess, I don't know who I'd address this to, but single-use plastics be banned from the MAC. Do we not have contracts with some of the beverage companies in regards to what they put in their coolers and what people buy up there in regards to vending machines? I guess I direct that through you to Mr. Caruana.
Through the chair, yes, we do. The vending products and the Coke machines and the Pepsi machines, that type of thing, are, I believe there's some of them have plastic bottles in them.
A lot of them have plastic bottles.
Right.
And one further question in regards to the garbage pails. What would you like to see there in regards to the garbage pails? Recycling bins?
Similar to, so when I visited Markham, I recall that nobody had a pail. beside their desk. There was a common area where there was like a three bin system.
Oh, from the Mac, sorry. I thought you were talking about Garnaby.
No. And about the issue about the vending machines, those are, I don't, like if they're recyclable, then I don't consider them single use, right? So these are things like, you know, wine cups that are single use, right? Like you're throwing them in the garbage. There's no recycling them. So, I mean, it's a whole other issue what we're doing about recycling. But I don't think people should be renting, for example, the activity rooms and then serving up all their drinks in a nice plastic cup that goes promptly in the garbage. That's all. Like, so why don't we start showing some leadership on this, and then that's all. Like, it's very easy to pour drinks in a glass, wash the glasses, and then guess what? You haven't created any garbage. So I've had to do it myself. And it's not that hard to do, you know? So, and if people don't want to do that, then find another place, I guess. But that's all. Like, I think it's time we put our foot down and showed some leadership on this. So. Thanks.
All right. Further on that? Councilor Neal, have you, your motion to wind up, or was that your wind up?
Well, I did have a discussion with Mr. Caruana, and I thought there was some positive indication from him in terms of dealing with the Garnet Rickards. So unless I misinterpreted his comments, I thought they were fairly supportive. So.
All right. Mr. Caruana, Chair.
Through the chair, my comments were, if that's what council's wish is, we can certainly do that, Your Worship.
Yep. So I would
ask, though, because I'm getting a little confused, if single-use plastics, if we need a definition of that, because I would have thought that it would have meant the bottles in the Coke machines and so on and so forth. But if that's not the case, it's at, you know, whatever council wishes, we can certainly accommodate that, not without a problem.
Well, if it was up to me, I'd ban them, but I know that, you know, it's not going to be built in a day, but, you know, that, I think we need to plant a flag somewhere, and then there should be a recycling bin, and if those aren't going in the recycling bin, they're all going in the garbage, well, then that'll be step two. Like, to me, it's incremental, and the way these things always get defeated, in my mind, for example, at the region, is you say, well, yeah, but we can't do it all in a day. Well, yeah, but it's a series of steps that once you start and it's the world doesn't come to an end, then you just keep plodding along, and then yeah, that'll be next. So let's try this one and take it from there. But so I'd love to ban all those plastic drink bottles, but let's try this first. That's all.
Well, so the problem, Councillor Neal, I know where you're trying to go with that, is, and to Mr. Caruana's point, is single-use plastics, the bottles are single-use plastics, be banned. So if we pass this and ratify this, Rome does need to be built, you know, in a day, and I think that's where Mr. Caruana is saying, you know, give me a list, if I'm listening correctly, Mr. Caruana, you know, what we can work towards. So exactly what you're describing, it's not going to happen overnight. Yeah, but, you know, do we really need plastic spoons and forks and coffee stir things, you know, and straws? I'm thinking these are things that we buy. We can control that. This is a single-use plastic, right? So I'm wondering if there's a better way of, I was going to say skinning the cat, but that's probably really politically incorrect, so I'm not going to say that. So help us out, Councillor Neal. I think it's a great undertaking, but I understand the concern that staff, you know, even the
Well, I guess I'd say single use bracket non-recyclable. Okay, like, I mean, whether we're recycling them or not is a whole different issue, and I'd like to get into that one, but or attempting to recycle them. But I consider single use plastic. plastic knife, a plastic fork, right? Like, theoretically, those plastic bottles, for example, the Coke comes in, theoretically, they're recyclable. So for now, I would say, let's use the definition of non-recyclable, which I think the region uses a lot. Like, that's the terminology they use, so.
So Mr. Caruana, can you work on that with, and I think the understanding is, your point is that this isn't gonna happen overnight, that, you know, it could be the coffee and creamer containers. I don't think those are recyclable, and I'm guessing from a health department point of view, they don't want us, I don't know.
Through you, Your Worship, I don't think it would be difficult for staff to determine whether something was recyclable or not, and we can look at that, the products that we're using. And in my discussion earlier with the counselor, my understanding was that he was concerned with outside renters coming in using the hall and bringing their own plastic cups and whatnot, and it's that part that we can stop and make them aware of what the municipality's policy is. As far as dealing with the vending machines and so on and so forth, we will continue to do that because that is a recyclable plastic until such time that we get that direction from council. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm sorry to interfere, the if we say non-recyclable plastic, I think that's enough for us to go on, and if not, we'll bring it back and tell you that it's not enough.
So instead of single use, can you go with non-recyclable, Councillor Neal?
Well, I would prefer to say single use plastics, bracket, non-recyclable. And then I think that's absolutely clear what we're talking about here. So I guess I'd make my own amendment to that.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that's what you said in the first place.
Okay.
We can live with that. Mr. Caruana, you can work with that. And, you know, again, I think we all understand and making it clear that we don't expect that tomorrow the world is going to change. You know, this is going to be an ongoing effort. Is that correct, Councillor Neal? I just don't want staff to take grief. You know, if we show up one day and something's there. Well, I think we need to be fair to staff that. So again, you and I are both holding pens. You know, a counselor in the wrong frame of mind could ask a staff member, you know, we banned them, right? That's what this says. So I'm just, you know, I'm just saying that we need to understand that this is going to take time and there needs to be a significant latitude on it. I think it's a great direction, but we just... We need to understand. Would it work if, would it be helpful if staff came back with a year from now with things that we're doing, a progress report?
If that's what you wish, we can do that.
I know what that is code for.
I think, Your Worship, that there's enough for us to go on here, and I understand the intent from the counselor, and I don't envision many problems.
All right, perfect. I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Next one, please. Okay, Councillor Neal, you had a possible farewell trail?
Yeah.
All right.
I've discussed with engineering staff sort of an alternate route that we've discussed, sort of getting some actual numbers in terms of the rise over a certain length of distance and so on that would entail, and compare it as well as any additional costs, and come back with a memo after that prior to the next council meeting to if there's going to be a final direction from council on that. So.
All right, questions or comments? So I assume we're gonna get pros and cons of the of both. Mr. Canella, you can do that in this point of period of time. I think you guys are working on this already, correct?
Yes, we are.
We're zigging and zagging. All righty, call the question, all in support?
Wilson.
Opposed, that is carried, thank you. Madam Clerk.
So, Mr. Chair, the date that I would propose in there, I was going to propose a different date, which would be a June 2020 General Government Committee meeting, so.
All right.
After December. So I guess the part of it is, I guess, understanding what will be in place or what's proposed to be in place and whether we have any discretion at all, and maybe the answer is we don't, but I'd like certainly to understand the rules on these two particular issues, and that is when the voters list comes out, and there's always people on that voters list who don't in fact live in Clarington anymore, but I don't know, for whatever reason, it seems to take forever to get these updates through from MPAC. What my understanding is MPAC generates a list, and also how are individual eligible voters that aren't on the list, how are they going to be dealt with on voting day, because they won't have a polling booth to go to be added to the voters list, for example, on voting day. So those are the two issues I'm kind of concerned with the internet voting. So now I guess some conversations with the clerk, she'd say like her rules will be put in place, I think it's December 2021, but part of what I'm trying to suggest is, as council, I think we should be, first of all, aware what the rules are going to be or shaping up to be, and B, whether we have any room to sort of up the ante on, for example, vetting who's on the list. So.
Ms. Greentree, you have some comments, I understand.
Yes, through the chair, thank you. I did touch base with Councillor Neal during our last break. I understand the intent of what Councillor Neal and Councillor Ward are getting at through the motion, but there are a few things that I think all of council needs to be aware of, or just a little reminder. The Municipal Elections Act is very clear on separating the duties of council and the duty of the clerk. As you know, it's that unique relationship when it comes to elections. So council has established through bylaw the method of election. And it's the clerk's role to establish the procedures and any necessary forms based on the method of election that council sets by bylaw. The legislation itself creates the deadline for those procedures. And as Councillor Neal indicated, yes, it is December 31st, the year prior to the election. Leading up until that time, as clerk, I rely on experience, of course, best practices. Right now, there's movement afoot by the province addressing voters list issues. The management of the voters list, we don't know where that's going to land. It's quite possible the voters list won't be with MPAC, that it may be with Elections Ontario. We don't know that. In addition to that, there is, led by a professor at U of T, there's work going on in establishing recommended standards for internet voting. I remain hopeful that those standards, in their draft form at the very least, will be presented at our AMCTO conference. So that's in June. I'll be looking at that. But in addition to that, we'll be looking to best practices, even outside of Canada, with respect to conduct of the election using internet voting. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm fully aware that council's concerned with how we will manage the voters list. I see this not that different than the manner in which we did here in Clarington for vote by mail. It's unsupervised voting. The rules with respect to who can be on the list, who can't be on the list, is set in the legislation. And while we will do our due diligence within our our authority. We are bound by the rules set out by the Municipal Elections Act on where the list comes from and how we vet the list. So from my perspective, I will be willing to report to council and share with council the procedures that as clerk I set out for the election, but sticking to a time frame, I'll be working within the election calendar as we establish for the 2022 election. And working on that at this point in time is not on our target list right now. There's too many things up in the air for us to even turn our minds to the voters list. Now, that having been said, I was at a meeting as late as last Friday pushing for the concept of voter registration, which is something Ontario has never done. They do it in the States, and it puts the onus on the elector to come forth and make sure that their name is added to the voters list before the election process even starts. So I guess what I'm telling you is I understand your concerns, and staff certainly will do what we possibly can to make sure that the voters list is clean. But to report back at a given time frame for council's input, I feel might not be appropriate.
So, Councillor Neal, I think there are two things here, and it all hinges on one word. Are you looking, as the clerk has asked, are you looking for council to provide an input into a process, and the clerk is suggesting that that's inappropriate, or would you just like to know what the process, what the plan is, and it might be the shortest memo in the, you know, if the province hasn't figured it out, the memo, you know, in 2020 might say, don't know.
Well, first of all, Mr. Chair, I'm troubled by the use of the word inappropriate. Like, in other words, something.
Well, inappropriate for council. So I don't mean that. I'm not being derogatory.
No, but that's a term of art around here that means you're acting improperly. Like,
okay, well, so councillor, I'm not suggesting you're acting improperly. Strike the word inappropriate.
But it was made. The statement was actually made by a member of our staff. So all I'm asking is there any room whatsoever? And if the answer is no, the answer is no. I'd like to see it in a written report that says what are the rules or what will they be when election time rolls around for a person who receives something in the mail and they're just on the list, they're on a list, and a vote's been cast. So is there any room whatsoever for any direction from this council? If the answer is no, I'd like to see that in writing. That's all. And then I'd like it's like a something that I can then research myself. That's all. Like, point me in the right direction. I'll look into it. And because is every municipality? Because I also think there's, and I haven't tracked this precisely, but I think there's been some resolutions passed about this voters list issue. So we're not the only ones thinking about it. There's other municipalities that are bringing the issue up, certainly. So, but again, I come from a situation of a 3-vote margin at one point, right? So that's, you know, when people win by thousands of votes, it's not an issue. But, you know, and I know myself that there's people that could have voted on the voters list, didn't live in the province anymore. They're on that voters list. So I'm just saying the possibility exists. And all I'm asking is how are we going to deal with that, or are we just going to ignore it? That's all. So, and I'm not saying the clerk's not alive to the issue, but what's wrong with a report coming back saying, well, here's the status. We're 2 years away from the election. Here's what it looks like right now. Because this, again, Clarington has not had internet voting. And it's not to say that municipalities that had internet voting haven't had problems. They've had lots of problems, some of them. So I'll just leave it at that, you know, if the answer is nothing, no, just take it as is, okay, then we'll, that's all.
So, Counselor, I'm going to try again to clarify. There are two parts, so you would like the clerk to come back with what the process is, okay? And I think the clerk, she's worried about a specific date, so if she doesn't know by September of 2020, you know, she's June of 20, whatever, sorry, whatever the date was, she is at the mercy of the province in terms of that. So the clerk is not in control of the rules that the clerk has to follow. So that was one piece, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And then the second piece that you're looking for is, can council get involved in the process? You know, are there any choices that we can have on the process? And I think the clerk can probably, you don't need to wait till 2020 to get a memo on that.
Through the chair,
unless it changes.
I don't even need a memo.
Okay.
The first part, if the date was removed and just that the clerk advised council of what the procedures are for the internet voting process, I can share those with council absolutely once they're set. With respect to the actual procedures in governing the election, council can't get involved in that. What council could do, however, is advocate for improved voters list. And the province is looking at legislation right now. So if council would like, I could certainly draft a resolution if council wants to have input to the province with respect to improving the voters list preparation process, shall we say.
All right. So, Councillor Neal, are you amenable to taking the date out that the clerk will get back as soon as she can?
Well, as long as it's not March of 2022.
Yeah, I think her challenge is it could be because she doesn't control that, right? I get what you're saying, but if she doesn't know, she can't tell us, right?
Oh, but
how about that as soon as the clerk can, she reports back?
Well,
okay, or we can leave the date in, and you know what? If she doesn't have the information, the report will be really short. We don't have the information yet.
Okay, right? That's fine. Yeah.
So we'll leave the date in, and if you don't know, you don't know. Right? All righty. So, Councillor Hoover.
So what are we voting on? I liked what the clerk just said at the end of her about that part of the motion. We're taking out the bottom part of the motion and putting in what the clerk just finished saying.
Nothing has been taken out. The date was changed to June of 2020, but beyond that, nothing has changed. All right, anything further on that? Call the question, all in support? Opposed? And that motion carries. Okay, what else do we have? Just leave it. Okay. Councillor Hooper, you had from CLOCA, and that was in a memo. I think you distributed that. You said you were?
I did. Do you want me to read it? Or do you want just everybody aware?
Oh, here we are. Do you have a seconder for that?
I do. Councillor Jones.
All right. Has everyone had a chance to look that over?
What page in the agenda is it at?
Okay, so Councillor Hooper has distributed it.
I did. I put it on.
And what page in the agenda was it?
Oh, I got it. Thanks.
Oh, he's got it. We're all set.
That's why you couldn't find it.
Oh, all right.
Would you like me to read it or no?
I don't think we need it to be read. Do we have any questions or comments on the motion? Councillor Hooper, thank you. For Councillor Neal.
So is this relating to the federal letter that was earlier in the agenda?
You know, this relates to the province cutting 50% of the funding to conservation authorities for flood prevention, which, given what's going on right now, seems to be a poor choice. Do we have 5 minutes to read that?
No, I'm okay. I don't recall when I was on CLOC, I don't really recall much provincial money showing up in the budget. Did I miss that, or?
We're sort of getting a drip, you know, from the province in terms of things that have changed. So I'm gonna suggest that happened 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that's correct.
So just curious, what the order of magnitude here for CLOC, for example?
75,000?
So, and City Kawartha. Kawartha Conservation Area lost 25. So,
okay,
it's significant.
Okay. Well, Councillor Zwart?
And Ganaraska lost 48,000.
Okay, anything further on that? So at the region, which is where the dough comes from, you add the 75 and 48 and 25, and then whatever TRCA came up with, and Lake Simcoe and... Boy. All right. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Okay. So we are done with new business. Unfinished business. FND-002-19. This is the budget policy. It was referred from the January 21. Do we need to lift that or introduce it? Okay, so these were all referrals with the exception of 21.5. Councillor Neal.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to give you a motion to table this to the next GG meeting.
All right. It's a tabling motion, no debate. Councillor Trail, you're seconding that? Okay. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. The next 21.2, motion regarding staff expending funds, that's referred from the Feb 19 GG meeting?
Same motion. Table.
Okay, a table. Okay. I might worry about how thick that agenda gets, but I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. CAO-002-19. I've got a prediction. Second by Councillor Trail. Tabling motion? Yes? All right, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Motion regarding amending the purchasing bylaw regarding hiring external consultants. And that needs to be lifted. So that was tabled.
I thought, Mr. Chair, I thought that was referred to the one we just tabled on.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we're on uplands anyway. I skipped one. So this is EGD-008-19, Uplands Sales Pavilion. Councillor Neal?
I think the appropriate motion is it just to receive for information at this point?
I would think so, yes. I don't think there was any action to take on that one. Mr.
I did have a question, though, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Cannella. It was a receive. So uplands, there's nothing. I mean, the motion, what the report was to receive for information, but is there any action to be taken or that we need to consider on the Upland Sales Pavilion?
There's no action other than I had a brief update on the status.
Okay, well, why don't we put that on the floor to receive for information, and then we'll get the update, seconded by Councillor Jones. And you'd like an update from Mr. Cannella?
Sure. And I did have some questions, too.
All right. Mr. Cannella?
So since the report, the parking lot is now opened for the use of the public. With regard to the site plan agreement, the license agreement, there'll be our legal people are looking after executing the agreement. And what's forthcoming is the registration of the transfer of the parking lot lands.
Councilor Neal?